This episode of How Sound starts with an email I drafted to Ashley Ahern. Ashley's the host of a new podcast about the environment. It's called Terrestrial. I wrote the email, reread it a couple of times, and thought, should I send this? Will Ashley be royally upset with me? The subject line was a strange and perhaps uncouth question. Here's what I wrote. Ashley, it's Rob from Transom and How Sound here. Long time no talk. I've been listening to and enjoying Terrestrial. Congrats on the podcast. Sounds great. I noticed, okay, I'm a bit nervous. Here comes the uncouth part. I noticed that in your promo photos for the podcast, you look different. The leather jacket, the close cropped hair, the motorcycle helmet. That's not how I remember you. I'm writing because I'm interested, for How Sound, in how podcasts promote themselves. And I'm wondering if, by chance, your change in appearance was purposeful for Terrestrial. Especially given that there's an industrial waterfront scene behind you, and you're posed on a muddy, unattractive shore. Was this all planned? Or am I a jerk? Thanks for putting up with my questions. Best, Rob. So look, I know. Writing a female reporter to ask about what she looks like is the last thing I should be doing. Talk about fraught and stupid. And yet, I pushed send. This is How Sound, the backstory to great radio storytelling. Hi there, I'm Rob Rosenthal, the host of How Sound, which is brought to you from PRX and Transom. Ashley Ahern has reported on the environment for over a decade. Early on, she interned with NPR's Radio Expeditions, and she worked at Living on Earth for several years. Here's an excerpt of a report she filed back in 2006. It's about logging companies in the North Woods of Maine who are selling land for housing developments.
The boom days of the paper and timber industries of Maine's North Woods are over. Operations outsourced to South America or China, and forest jobs lost to mechanization. Mainers have been living with the logging industry for more than 100 years. 95% of the state is privately owned, and almost half of that by large timber companies. So when the Plum Creek Timber Company bought 900,000 acres in Maine in 1998, no one thought much would change. But a year later, something unexpected happened. Plum Creek Timber became the Plum Creek Real Estate Investment Trust.
Here's Plum Creek with 900,000 acres in Maine that it just bought, but it has no wood or paper manufacturing operations up there. It is basically a real estate company that's liquidating its properties.
George Draffin has researched the timber.
Eventually, Ashley decided her reporting needed something more, so she attended grad school to study science journalism.
When you cover the environment, if you're not bringing science to bear on environmental questions, all you're getting are the he said, she said. You know, the people that say this is bad and the pollution is hurting us, and the industry or whomever that's saying it's not. And if you don't have science and testing and data and rigorous sort of, study of the issues, you're not really shedding light. You're just kind of adding heat to complex issues and controversial issues.
Ashley says she's pleased with her reporting over the years, but still, something was not quite right. She says her stories were hobbled by one thing in particular. They were too earnest.
I think I picture the listener in my head back then as somebody who is wearing Birkenstocks, driving their Prius, scared about where the world is headed, apologizing for stepping on plants or hurting trees or eating animals. And I think that has been sort of the philosophy of environment coverage for a really long time, is let's tell people how they're harming everything. And ultimately, I think that those are stories, I realized, several years into it, that I was doing stories that I personally didn't really want to hear, didn't want to listen to them in my spare time. Is that terrible to admit? That I knew they were important stories. I knew that people needed to know these things, but I just didn't know if I wanted to be the one telling them anymore. It's like being the buzzkill at the party all the time.
Enter her new podcast, Terrestrial. Ashley produces Terrestrial for KUOW in Seattle. She says Terrestrial is the podcast for the generation who's going to live with climate change. In fact, the program's tagline is exploring the choices we make in a world we changed.
Or, as I say to friends, it's the we're f***ed now what podcast, basically, which the key phrase being now what. And so speaking to the generation that's going to have to deal with the pollution and the climate impacts that previous generations have set in motion, asking the question, how do we live in this world, not just wringing our hands about how screwed we are.
And so what does that mean in terms of the storytelling?
It means that we look for characters who are navigating this new world. We channel a little bit of the kind of post-apocalyptic, I think, and try to figure out, okay, so what do we do? And we ask personal questions like, is it worth it to protest? Does environmental protest work? That's our next episode that's coming out. Our last episode was about, should we have kids in a time of climate change? Given where scientists are saying the planet is headed, should we bring more people onto the planet? So it's personal. Climate is personal. And this podcast is doing exactly that. We're getting into the personal decisions where we have agency as individuals.
And so the characters you find, they're in the middle of it. They're trying to figure out an answer to a vexing environmentally related question. Like the guy who finds all of the birds with the plastic in them.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a hard episode. But we started with that on purpose. That was our first episode out of the gate. It's about eco-anxiety. And getting to that question of, okay, so we know this bad news is out there. How do we deal with it? How do we respond? And actually getting into a little bit of the neuroscience of, like, what does it do to your brain when you're constantly bombarded with this bad news? So it kind of frames the whole show if you think about it.
Well, I had heard about this phenomenon that's happening there of these birds whose bodies are filled with plastic. And as soon as I learned of it, I just felt this magnetic pull to go there.
Chris Jordan is a documentary filmmaker who lives in Seattle. He's talking about the Laysan albatross, a seabird that nests on Midway Atoll, this remote sliver of land right in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. When Chris first arrived on Midway, it wasn't nesting season, so all the birds were gone, flying thousands of miles over the ocean. So Chris and his team had the island to themselves, and they started looking for the dead albatrosses they'd heard about. It didn't take long for Chris to find his first one. And he remembers what he saw when he opened up its stomach.
It was a white ring of a, like the outside ring of a bottle cap right inside the rib cage of a dead bird. And I remember just this shock. And we filmed it and made a big thing of it.
But that was just the beginning.
And then there was another one right next to it and another one right next to it. And the amounts of plastic in many of these birds is just so astonishing. It's like a quart of plastic inside a bird whose stomach is supposed to be the size of a ping pong ball.
As he went around the island on that first trip, cutting open dead birds, Chris pulled out piece after piece of plastic. Slivers of containers and packaging, cigarette lighters, firecracker casings, even syringes with the needle still attached. And he took photo after photo after photo. And I mean, here he is on an incredibly remote island surrounded by 60 million square miles of water.
And to get to this place and to see this horror, it's just, it's like I looked into the stomachs of those birds and I heard this sound, just this horrible sort of wrenching, screaming sound or something like that. So sometimes I'd feel rage, you know, I'd look at the plastic in there and I'd just scream and pound my fists on the ground or grab dirt and rub it in my hair or whatever thing. But mostly I would open up a bird and take out a handful of bottle caps and I would just dissolve into tears of grief.
That's a clip from the first episode of Terrestrial, the we're screwed part of the story. The so now what part was this. Chris returned home, depressed, taken out at the knees, for a year. But he eventually turned around. He lifted himself out of his depression by going back. He returned to Midway to see more albatrosses, live albatrosses, a million of them. But even that didn't wipe clear his eco anxiety. That required something more.
Chris says that when he went back to Midway and witnessed the whole picture, how these birds live and how they die, something surprising happened to him. He still felt the grief he'd been feeling before, but he says he was able to let it sort of roll through him, and it actually gave way to a feeling he described as ecstasy.
Because it brings us so deeply into the present moment, and it connects us with our love for whatever that thing is. Grief is the love we feel for something that we're losing or that is suffering.
He thinks that in Western culture, we tend to hold grief at a distance. So when environmental events happen that have these really awful effects, like the drought in Australia or Hurricane Katrina, or even just when we scroll through our Facebook feeds or see photos of dead birds, we don't really let ourselves grieve. Because Chris says it's really frightening.
So this is something we're all bearing. I think we're swimming in an even bigger sea of fear.
And as a result, instead of moving through it, finding the other side, we just kind of sit in that fear. And we may not even realize it. We just start to feel this weight, a constant buzz of anxiety or apathy. In researching this episode, I spoke with several psychologists, and they told me that people can't be problem solvers if they aren't fully present in their own minds. If we're overcome with anxiety and depression or feelings of helplessness, it can be really hard to even start to focus our attention and willpower on these giant problems like climate change. I asked Chris Jordan how he copes with those feelings now.
I could give a whole list of good environmental things I do, but the truth is that none of them are nearly enough. And so for me, it's important to not kind of pacify myself or convince myself that I'm doing enough. Like, I want to feel my anxiety.
He says that's it. That first, you got to face the source of the anxiety. Like, you got to face your own grief at how the world around us is changing. Because only then can you find ways to move forward.
In the podcast, there's a lot of you. That's a change from your other reporting, yeah?
Yeah, it is.
And is this part of this shift that you think needs to happen in your reporting? That in order for there to be personal stories that you feel like you need to be involved in some respects?
In terms of interviewing strategies, one thing I've learned over the years is when you share a little bit about yourself in the conversation with somebody, when you are asking them personal questions, they're more likely to come back with personal reveals of their own. And so I kind of look at the whole podcast that way, that if I can start off with a story about, say, my great aunt Gilda and my feelings, this is from the Composting the Dead episode, you know, looking at my great aunt Gilda and how in my family, on that side of the family, we, the Catholic side does a lot of embalming and, you know, makeup and all that with an open casket funeral and how uncomfortable that made me. And so I use that kind of personal anecdote to ask a bigger question. I remember walking up to the edge of the casket with my brother and looking in. And there she was. It was Aunt Gilda, but there was something weird about her. She had this foundation makeup all over her face that gave her this artificial dark tan coloring. And then on each cheek, there was this big round circle of blush. She was dead, but it was almost like she'd been remade in Technicolor to look aggressively alive. Looking back on it, it was a really unsettling experience. And I realized that it wasn't just the makeup that upset me. It was how unnatural everything seemed. Great Aunt Gilda's body had been filled with embalming fluid to preserve it. She was then placed in an expensive hardwood casket and put in the ground in a concrete-lined space. And that all masked the fact that not only was she gone, but her body was starting to decay. Today, we're going to look at death, and more specifically, what we do with our bodies when we die. And we're going to look at it from an environmental perspective, because there's a question that some people who study death and burials are asking. What if we could compost our dead? I'm Ashley Ahern, and you're listening to Terrestrial, a show that explores the choices we make in a world we have changed. I think that there is more of a role for personal involvement in stories, because I think ultimately if there's one thing my generation is learning about journalism is no journalist is unbiased, right? And so it's almost disingenuous to say, I'm going to do a whole story about the decision to have kids or not, but I'm not going to reveal to you whether or not I have kids. Because frankly, having kids is your bias. If you're covering a question like that and you're not upfront about what your background is, it feels like you're hiding something from the listener in terms of how you see an issue like that. And so I feel like it's time to just sort of come right out with it and say, here I am. This is what I do for a living. I've been doing it for a long time. I know the science. I know my shit. I'm well-sourced and I'm asking these questions personally. So if you want to come along for the journey, let's hang. It'll be fun.
You and I had some emails back and forth before we set up the interview, and one of the things you wrote to me was, it works out well that my personality and style aligns with what we're going for in the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, first of all, Rob, I have to applaud you for even reaching out and asking the first uncomfortable question, which you asked. And I was going to ask you if you could paraphrase what your first ask was.
Well, why don't we start with that then?
Yeah.
Because I was kind of afraid to bring it up.
I know, but I really am glad you did. I mean that.
So I started listening to Terrestrial, you know, just as a listener, but also mm-hmm. you know, with my house sound hat on. It mm-hmm. seems hard to take that off. and then I wanted to know more. So I went to the website and I saw a picture of you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't really know you. I've only seen you maybe a couple of times in person at Third Coast or something like that. And I thought, oh, my God, that's Ashley Ahern. That doesn't look like Ashley Ahern, at least not what I remember. And the Ashley Ahern that I remember, I'm going to say was, you know, just public radio casual. I'm not stepping in poop here.
No. And well, now how would you describe what you saw in the photo then? Let's talk about the change.
Well, now I blinked. I totally blinked when I looked, because what I saw was someone with the side of her hair shaved
mm-hmm.
and there was a braid through it and mm-hmm. part of your hair was dyed blue and you're mm-hmm. wearing a leather jacket and you're standing in an industrial setting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, whoa. I forgot the bicycle helmet, the motorcycle helmet.
Yeah.
And I was like, holy Toledo. What's that about? And my initial thought was, is this for promotional purposes? Like, is mm-hmm. there some way that Ashley is there a reason Ashley's dressing this way, other than just sort of personal choice and she wants to, that's for the podcast? That's a way of positioning the podcast among other podcasts. And so mm-hmm. that's what I wrote to you about. I don't think I just paraphrased. And I'm very nervous even talking to you about it. And I can feel my hands sweating on the microphone.
Oh, well, I guess, can I ask you one more question? Why were you uncomfortable asking me that?
Well, because I don't think someone's appearance necessarily has anything to do with their podcast, you know, at least on face value. That's not what we're about. We're about the content. And then secondly, and maybe even more importantly, you're a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really want to go around talking to female reporters about their appearance. That is just not how I roll.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like, you know, I questioned myself before I sent send. What am I doing here? And yet, I wanted to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have never asked another reporter about their appearance, male or female.
And I think that, I mean, I will just say that the fact that the first one you do ask is a woman does speak volumes about the society that we live in. And I think it explains why a lot of women do get imposter syndrome, because we're judged as soon as we walk out the door in the morning. You know, I get comments every day about what I wear. I wear a lot of bright red lipstick. I wear that black leather jacket pretty much every day because I actually do ride a motorcycle, and I wear my black leather boots every day. And I sometimes wear dresses with that leather jacket and those boots, you know? And I think that I think women that step out publicly are judged, and sort of expected to behave in a certain way. And maybe in public radio, there's this almost, I don't know, like humbleness, or you're kind of encouraged to not be showy. And I think that especially with the beat that I cover, it's time to hang up those skates. It's time to kind of just, for me anyway, I felt like this is who I am. If I was going to start an environment podcast in the past, I probably would have like done the shoot out in nature and made sure there was like a waterfall behind me and maybe been on a bicycle or something like that. And I firmly believe that this beat needs to adapt. Like, just like we're all going to need to adapt to climate change, this beat needs to adapt to the reality of what we're facing and kind of like have a little bit more angst and a little bit less earnest. And I also think that my trajectory maybe speaks to a trajectory that I see needing to happen in covering this beat more broadly. And I think that takes a little bit more badassery, frankly. I think we need to buck up a little bit and start just kind of having some real talk about what's going on and not, put on the leather jacket. Fuck it. You know, like this is me, Rob.
Hmm. So it sounds to me, and tell me if I'm wrong here, that somewhere along the way here, Ashley, starting whenever, you've started to find yourself a bit more, not only in terms of who you are as a person, but also in terms of your reporting, and the two are matching up.
I think you put it really well. I think you just put that really well. And I think my hope for everybody that makes radio, makes audio, is that we all are always striving to find our voices. Because, I mean, if there's one piece of advice that you've probably given your students, I know I tell young journalists, when you do interviews, be yourself, be yourself, be yourself, be yourself, right? Like when you ask the question you really want to ask, like you did when you wrote me that email, right? Like put yourself there and let yourself come through, because you get better tape, you tell better stories, and frankly, you sleep better at night. Well, I mean, so to be, as you said at the beginning, like we don't know each other that well. And so I feel like I'm tapping into my truer self now than I was before. And people change, right? Like you've probably changed your look over the years, although maybe you're still wearing cargo shorts. Are you still wearing cargo shorts, Rob?
Oh my God. I am wearing cargo shorts right now. Yeah.
A student in a Transom workshop recently asked me, what's something we should be doing in an interview that you haven't talked about very much? And I said, ask uncomfortable questions. And I told the story of how distressing it was to ask Ashley about her appearance in the promotional materials for the podcast. But in the end, it turned out that this was one of the best conversations I think I've had on How Sound. So thanks, Ashley. Ashley Ahern's new podcast is Terrestrial. It's produced by KUOW. How Sound is produced by PRX and Transom. John Barth gets a second red pen ready before he edits my scripts. And today, a big thanks to KISL. They let me record in their studio while I was teaching a workshop here on Catalina Island. I'm Rob Rosenthal. Thanks for listening.
From PRX
and Transom.org.